New York City is among the nation's leaders in reducing children's exposure to lead poisoning, but in a new analysis of never-before-released blood tests, Reuters found that children in many city neighborhoods have dangerously high blood lead levels, levels as high or higher than those of children in Flint, Michigan. Joining us now to fill us in, Reuters reporter Joshua Schneer. Joshua, good morning.
Hi, thanks, Richard.
So what's so special about the data that you obtained, and I understand it's very hard to get?
Sure. Well, this data is hyper-local blood testing data. It takes you down to the census tract across New York City. Usually, you get only a broad view, city or county-wide data. So this took us months to get. New York City originally declined our requests for this data. They cited privacy concerns. We got it from the CDC. Mm-hmm. So as you said, New York City has a storied history of combating lead poisoning. It's taken many, many measures over the years to do so. It was among the first U.S. cities to ban lead from residential paint in 1960. But even now, in 2015, the most recent year of data, 5,400 kids tested above the CDC's elevated threshold for elevated blood lead readings. And, you know, when you go down to the census tract level, which is what we wanted, was to compare those rates across neighborhoods in New York City, you can see that pockets of poisoning remain across the city.
So are you saying the census data goes like by block or by building? How hyper-local is it?
Sure. Well, if you check out our map, interactive, that we're publishing today, you can see if you're in New York City, these rates within blocks now of your home, of your school, of your children's schools, of your parks. Usually you get that view, but it's more of a citywide view. So this allows people to kind of look right in their own neighborhoods.
So which kids and which neighborhoods are especially at risk and why?
Well, the data shows parts of Brooklyn are at highest risk. But I'm starting with some generalities, which we've heard from many experts and city officials. Small children, ages 1 to 3 typically, are often at greatest risk because lead exposure can do the most to stunt their development. And many children in this age group still have hand-to-mouth behaviors. They're crawling around. They're gnawing at things. That's natural. And this can be risky, especially if they live or spend time in older housing or buildings, so pre-1960, pre that lead paint ban, especially if there's peeling or crumbling old lead paint. Well, a lot of New York City's housing stock is pre-1960. Mm-hmm. Poverty remains a predictor for lead poisoning. So we found some areas, including even one small, well-to-do section of the Upper West Side in Manhattan, with high elevated lead levels. Mm-hmm. But if you explore the map, you'll see that many of the areas of highest risk are located in Brooklyn, including in areas of older housing, brownstone buildings, in areas with a long industrial history. And the area the data indicates has the highest risk was actually in the Hasidic Jewish section of southern Williamsburg.
Really?
And there, several factors contribute. The housing is old. A lot of it was built around 1900. The area's residents have lower economic status than in much of Brooklyn. The population is very dense, and this is actually the area with the highest concentration of small children in the city. About 1 in 4 residents is 5 or younger. So many area residents, you know, they also speak Yiddish as a first language. They're not necessarily—it's a fairly insular community. And the factors are older housing and others because of a long industrial history in that neighborhood. You know, we saw other parts of Brooklyn, Flatbush, Central Brooklyn, Crown Heights, where I live, Bed-Stuy, Borough Park, which also has a big Hasidic community.
Mm-hmm. Before we run out of time, I also want to get to the fact that you found that housing inspections, which were supposed to get a handle on this lead paint exposure in the city, haven't really worked. What's going on with that?
Well, look, housing inspections absolutely can work in many cases to spot lead hazards. And a 2004 law, the Local Law 1, was designed to give the city power to make landlords fix these hazards before a child is exposed, or if necessary, make repairs themselves and bill landlords. And housing inspectors have doled out 230,000 lead paint violations since that law. But what we found is that two key provisions of the law, and these are meant to place the responsibility for lead poisoning avoidance onto private landlords, have rarely, if ever, been enforced. And this places some families at risk. The law says landlords have to, in rental dwellings where residents include small children, they have to conduct annual spot inspections for lead hazards and fix them. And they must abate all lead hazards on friction surfaces, these places like windowsills and doors where paint often breaks down. Well, we looked through 12 years of violations data, and the city has issued no or close to zero violations for landlords failing to do those things. So it's no huge surprise that landlords aren't, if they aren't, they're not following the rules, some kids are going to remain vulnerable.
Okay, Joshua Schnair, reporter for Reuters, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.